Okay, good evening. I want to firstly thank everyone for coming. It's really great to see everyone. I want to thank our hosts tonight, and especially my wife. I never realized the difficulty of hosting until I had to clean away all the sorrow from the table. But please take some of the food. While I'm speaking afterwards, I have a source sheet, but I get carried away sometimes when I prepare a source sheet. So don't worry about it. The shiur will be understandable, even if you don't follow the source sheet. It's more for myself, and one or two things we'll take a look inside. So what I want to talk about this evening is the custom, the minhag, the halacha, to eat dairy on Shavuos. This is an age-old custom, and it's somewhat halachically controversial because it's also a mitzvah to eat meat. We know that Simchas Yom Tov, the mitzvah of meat, is usually with meat and wine, basar v'yayin, but there's this minhag to have dairy. It also gives people opportunity to switch up their menu a little bit and go a little lighter. In my house, growing up, and after we got married and came back for Yom Tov, there was always a big debate amongst my brothers and I whether to force my mom to have meat or not. Some only wanted meat, they were very frum. Some wanted dairy. My policy was, and still is with my wife, is you're making the food, whatever's best for you, I'm going to eat. There is this minhag to eat dairy, and I want to understand why. I actually saw around 20 answers, 20 reasons for this question. Some a little far out, some mystical, and some just a little bit crazy. So I picked four or five reasons that I like to go through. Each one I think it can be impactful on our Yom Tov, and while we're eating dairy, if we're eating dairy, while we're eating the dairy, it won't just be about eating the dairy, it'll be about taking the message of what it's about to help us and help us tap into what Shavuos is. So does anyone know any reasons, familiar with any reasons why we eat dairy?
Milk and honey.
Milk and honey, good, we'll get there.
Because they really have time to learn the halacha, so the Esar Mechalav yet, so to make it simpler.
Excellent. So that's the first, the most, probably the most well-known answer. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, quotes it. It's interesting. He doesn't quote who he heard it from. He says, Shamati b'shem gadol echad. I heard in the name of a great scholar. The Chafetz Chaim always attributes his words, his opinions, to the person who said it. So there are those who suggest that he really thought of this on his own, but didn't want to take credit, so he attributes it to a gadol echad. And that is that at Har Sinai, when the Jews got the Torah, which we celebrate on Shavuos, we became Jewish, so to speak. We had now all of the halachos, and even though we only got the Ten Commandments, all the Torah was included in those Ten Commandments. And now there are all these halachos. Shechita needed to be done. You couldn't just eat an animal, it had to be shechted. And there are laws of a kosher knife for shechita. And there are ways to kasher the animal, to salt the animal. And all their kalim, their vessels, were not kosher, because up until they got the Torah, none of their vessels were kosher. Now they don't have time to kasher all their kalim. So because of that, it's much easier and quicker to eat dairy. I think I saw online you could make your own cheese in less than an hour. Maybe next year we'll have a cheese making display as well. You can make your own, well, eat the cheesecake instead. You can make your own cheese. It's much easier. There aren't a lot of halachos involved. So to remember that, the sense of nostalgia, we eat dairy. I thought that was interesting. Now, why is it such a big deal? Why do we have to remember? It wasn't like they did anything special. They just didn't have the time. They didn't have the vessels. They didn't have all. What are we remembering? So I once had a student in school who became very clear early on that he was a vegetarian. And we were learning Maseches Pesachim that year, and a lot of the halachos of Shabbos and Yom Tov and meat, and he kept on saying things, questions about being a vegetarian. And all the kids in Shir would poke fun a little bit. It was a little insensitive, but they're high school boys, and for a high school boy, it's about eating meat. And this boy would always talk about being a vegetarian. And finally, after like a couple of months, he like lost it. And he said, you know I'm a vegetarian? Who wants to know why I'm a vegetarian? So all the boys rolled their eyes, like, okay, why are you a vegetarian? He said, let me tell you. My mother, when she was 16 years old, decided to become religious. She grew up in a totally secular home. And her parents would not hear of it. And her family members had a very hard time. So rather than insist on keeping kosher, which wasn't going to work, she just became vegetarian. So she had to eat meat anymore. It was much easier to keep kosher, or even if she wasn't going to eat kosher, she wasn't going to eat non-kosher meat. So to avoid that problem, to keep kosher, she became vegetarian. And her whole life, now I'm not sure why she had to make her family go through that, but her whole life, she and her family remained vegetarian. It's almost like as a zecher, as a remembrance, it was a point of pride for the family that mommy was a vegetarian because of that halacha. And I think that's a similar idea here. We dare not just to remember what happened, but the Jewish people went through a conversion process at Har Sinai, and that conversion process prohibited them from eating meat until they got everything together, and we remember that on Shavuos. That's also one of the reasons why we lane Megillas Rus, because Rus converted, and that was a very inspiring point for the Megillah. So on Shavuos, we also are like converts, and we remember that with pride. We're not embarrassed where we came from. They point out that Rus in Gematria, the numerical value is 606. Which is the seven mitzvahs that all people, Gentiles included, have to keep, plus 606 equals 613. So we lay in Rosh. I think it's a similar idea to why we're eating dairy, to remember that point, to not forget where we came from, and it should be a point of pride. That's the first reason. I think that's the most well-known reason why we eat dairy. There's another reason, which is that, and this will be reason number two. Excuse me. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim compares Torah to milk and honey. The pasuk says, "Tavash v'chalav tachas l'shonech." Milk and honey, honey and milk, will be under the tongue. The Megillah Shir HaShirim is saying that Torah will be to our tongue, to our palate, like milk and like honey. So Shavuos, so we're celebrating our receiving the Torah, we have milk and honey. Now milk caught on, dairy. I don't know people who are particular to have honey on Shavuos. Usually we, Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot, we put it away. But in the earliest sources of the Minhag, the Kolbo, who's a Rishon in the 1400s, he and a couple hundred years that followed, it was about milk and honey, not just milk, not just dairy, but the Torah is compared to milk and honey. Shavuos, we celebrate the Torah, so we have milk and honey. The Medrash says that when the Jewish people said Na'aseh v'nishma, they accepted the Torah, so God said, oh, in honor of that, or in appreciation of that, reward for that, I'm going to make Torah sweet like honey and like milk as well. What's the milk? Honey, I understand. Honey is very sweet. It's delicious. What's milk? So I heard a beautiful explanation. Torah is compared to milk and honey in a couple places because honey is sweet. It's delicious. It's exciting. But if a person had honey all day long, if that's all they ate, they'd get sick. They'd be nauseous. Their teeth would decay. And it would not be healthy. It would not be beneficial for them. Milk gives us strength. Milk is very healthy. Milk does the body good. We need milk as well. But if it was only milk, so we'd be bored. We would be disgusted by it. The honey spices it up. It gives us certain excitement. Torah is the same thing. Sometimes Torah is delicious. It's sweet. It's Judaism in general. It's enjoyable. The parts of it that are very exciting to us, that's the honey. The Torah is compared to honey. Sometimes not so much. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. There's rigor and there's consistency needed, which is the milk, representing the milk. So Shavuos, as we get to Torah, we have milk and honey. Rav Kook pointed out that milk and honey both come from the source of both are from objects, items that are not kosher. Honey comes from a bee. A bee is a sheretz. A bee is not a kosher animal. Milk comes from blood. The Gemara says that dam nakar v'nasa chalav. I printed out the science behind that. The science in breast milk is that it comes from blood. The scientist in the room could probably explain that better than I can. But there's both come from dam. Dam also is forbidden. Dam is tame. So Rav Kook points out that Torah has the ability to take even that which is tame, both dam and a bee, a sheretz, a not kosher animal, and Torah has the ability to transform that into something positive. So Shavuos, we don't run away from that which is a problem. We embrace it. We have milk and honey. Milk and honey both come from that which is a problem, and we take it on Shavuos because Torah has the ability to transform those items. And there's another beautiful remez. If you take a look, it's one of the few things I want to see inside. I forgot to number the sources. The box on the right side, it says Parshas Pinchas. The Arch HaShulchan has a beautiful remez. The pasuk says about Shavuos, "Biyom HaBikurim." On the holiday of Shavuos, "Ba'akrivchem mincha chadasha l'Hashem, b'shavu oseichem." When you bring the korban mincha, it's a mincha chadasha, a new korban mincha, l'Hashem to God, b'shavu oseichem on Shavuos. So the first letter of chadasha l'Hashem b'shavu oseichem is chalav, milk, hinting to that pasuk. Says the Arch HaShulchan, we eat milk, dairy products on Shavuos to hint to this pasuk. What's this pasuk telling us? Milk represents something that is new. This is the mincha chadasha. On Shavuos we bring the new mincha because Torah always has to be fresh and exciting. The Kli Yakar says that when a baby nurses milk from its mother, every time it nurses, it has a new taste, a brand new flavor that's based on a Gemara. So too, Torah is compared to milk. Because every time we engage in anything Torah related, every time we look at a pasuk, every time we learn, every time we hear, there should be something new, something fresh, something exciting, which is represented by the milk. And in fact, the Kli Yakar says, if you go through the whole Torah, it never says that Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. We know, we say in davening, Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that. Because every day, says the Kli Yakar, has to be a new accepting of the Torah. This is not something that happened thousands of years ago, and we're trying to always relate back or remember that date. Just like an anniversary is a one-time event, the wedding, but a person doesn't just live a whole life trying to relate back to the anniversary. It's always trying to build and create and forge new. So too, Torah is mincha chadasha chalav ches lamed beiz chadasha l'Hashem m'shavuos echem. Torah compared to milk is hinting to that notion as well. I saw another fascinating explanation that Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the water on what date? Does anyone know? So it's a shiur about Shavuos. So the easy guess would be Shavuos. He was born on Zayin Adar, and 3 months later, the pasuk says that that 3 months after he was born, they couldn't hide him anymore because the Egyptians were going to come back and they were going to they figured out when he was going to be born. And 3 months later, they put him in the water. When he was taken out of the water that day, so the daughter of Paro took Moshe out, brought Moshe to all the Egyptian women to nurse. And Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from the Egyptian woman. The Medrash says, this peh, this mouth that's going to talk to the Shekhinah, this person who's going to receive the Torah can't nurse. Let me get some water, I apologize. Can't nurse from a Gentile woman. Excuse me. So that was a moment for Moshe, which was preparing him to get the Torah. His refusal to nurse, to take milk from an Egyptian woman. So we have milk also in Shavuos, dairy products, to remember that notion. So that's another explanation. I want to skip the third one for a minute and go to the fourth one, which if you turn the page around, it's also a hint in the Pasuk. I think it's very powerful. The Pasuk, which we all know, says, "Lahagid baboker chastecha," and the emunascha balelos. And the Rashi Tevos, the opening letter of Lahagid baboker chastecha, is cheslan aviz. Chalav. Lahagid, it's out of order. But Lahagid baboker chastecha, the Mefarshim point out that dairy, chalav, represents chesed. And Torah is all about chesed. The Gemara says that Torah starts with chesed, God giving clothing to Adam and Chava, and ends with chesed, with God burying Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole Torah is about chesed. Chesed is a prerequisite for the Torah. In fact, Mefarshim asks why you don't have a lot of psukim in the Torah and commandments about being a good person. It should say, but Yom HaShem Moshe, be a good person, be nice. You don't have a lot. You have a half Torah kamocha. You have a prohibition not to hate a fellow Jew. There's very little in the Torah about just being a good person. Some of Farshim say, because it's a prerequisite to the Torah. The Torah was said to people. A person is not, a human being is not a nice person, so he's like an animal, he's a behemoth, he's not even a person. The Torah wasn't said to that person. We eat dairy on Shavuos to remind ourselves of Lahagid Baboker Chastech. A person could go through Shavuos, and so much is about Torah and Kabbalah Satorah, and people are staying up all night to learn, and we read in shul about Maimon Har Sinai, our receiving the Torah. There's Akdamus in shul, which most people are sleeping for, and it's a whole a beautiful poem all about the Torah. It's Torah, Torah, Torah. A person could forget that before Torah comes Chesed. I read a couple of amazing stories about this notion. Reb Chaim Ozer Grzinski was the Rav in Vilna. He was the leader of European Jewry. He was killed right before the Holocaust hit Vilna. Vilna was a safe haven for a couple months or for a year. The Jews from all over Europe, all the yeshivas, many Jews came to Vilna. He basically was running the show for hundreds of thousands of Jews in Vilna until he died right before the beginning of the Holocaust. So Chaim Ozer Grzinski has many svarim. People wrote him questions from all over the world. They say, I don't know if it's true, that he was able to write two responsa at the same time, one with his right hand and one with his left hand. I don't know if that's true or not, but they don't say that about me. Chaim Ozer Grzinski every night would walk home from yeshiva with his students. And it was a cold winter night in Vilna, freezing, almost dangerous to be outside. And they're walking home, and they're two blocks away from his house. And a young boy, 15 years old, approaches him and is stuttering very severely, asking him where a certain street in town was. So Chaim Ozer took the time and he said, come with me, my boy, I'll take you there. And he holds the boy's hand, and yes, back then you could do that. And they're walking home, and it's 10 minutes, and all the friends, the Bachrim, the students of Reb Chaim Ozer are looking like, why doesn't he just tell this boy where the house is, where the street is? And they're walking 10 minutes, 25 minutes later, he gets to the house, and Reb Chaim Ozer walks into the door and says, have a good night. And the boys are, I couldn't believe it, Reb Chaim Ozer's time was very precious. Every second was used to learn, to write responsa, to lead the Jewish people. And they said, like, Rebbe, what was that? Why didn't you just tell him where the street was? So Chaim Ozer said, do you know who that was? So the boys thought, oh, well, it's probably the son of a big Rosh Yeshiva, the wealthy guy in town. So Chaim Ozer said, this boy stuttered. If I was just going to tell him the directions to this obscure street, odds are he would probably have forgotten, gone confused, and had to ask again. He would have had to ask someone else and go through the embarrassment, the shame of having to stutter through another question. So I wanted to save him from that embarrassment. And that's a person who understands the chesed that, yeah, I can learn for 25 minutes. You know, Chaim Ozer is learning. Every second was precious. But lahagid baboker chasecha, before Torah comes chesed. The altar of Slobodka, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, who was the head of the Slobodka Yeshiva, which produced many, many of the leading Torah figures in America and Israel. So he gets to Yeshiva one night, and they're about to daven Mincha, and he looks around, and he signals to the Gabbai that he wants to daven for the Amud. He wants to be the Chazan. He never davened, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, for the congregation. And he gets up, and everyone's like, what's going on? I don't think he has Yurtzeit to have to hear it from the Rosh Yeshiva to daven. It's going to be inspiring. And Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel gets up to daven, and he starts with Ashrei, and when he gets to Kaddish, he stumbles through the whole Kaddish. He's mispronouncing words, he doesn't know what he's doing. The boy's looking around like, what's that's not dementia, what's going on? And their shock was even greater when the whole Shmon Esrei, the whole Chazar Shashatz, when they're repeating Shmon Esrei, the altar of Slobodka, Rosh Tzvi, is stumbling through the words. And the base marriage is a buzz, that doesn't happen. Dav Shmon Esrei ended, and they get a finish Aleinu, and they get to the Kaddish Yasum. And they hear in the back of the shul was a man who was stumbling through the Kaddish, could barely read the Hebrew. Rav Nosson Tzvi was walking into shul, and he had heard this man practicing the Kaddish. It was clearly a person who didn't frequent the shul, but he probably had Yurtzeit. So to save the embarrassment of that person, so he, so to speak, embarrassed himself by stumbling through the Kaddish, understood that sensitivity. Now, the reason I tell the story is I think it was my first or second Shabbos in the shul, and I got an aliyah. And the person in front of me, the person who had aliyah, and I think I had shishi or shlishi, the person who had aliyah right before me said the wrong bracha in his second bracha. And I thought at the time, I should really mess up my bracha as well. If he did it, so save him from the embarrassment of in front of all these people, messing with the bracha. Everyone's not, no one yelled at him, but everyone starts yelling, yeah, no, borrow. So I thought I should do that, but I kind of chickened out and didn't. Maybe one day I'll be on that level. I don't know, I was worried they would fire me, maybe. The rabbi doesn't know the brachas. But that's this notion that we eat dairy. It represents lahagid baboker chastecha chalav, to remember. Others say that the B'nai Yisaskar says, he's the one who says this idea, he says also that white, the color white represents chesed. I didn't understand where he got that from. Milk as white, it's another, you know, remez, a hint, so to speak, that dairy, milk, chalav represents chesed. So Shavuos, so much is about Torah, but we remind ourselves when we eat the dairy, if we eat the dairy, don't forget that there's more to being a Jew than Torah. There's a lot about chesed as well. Okay, we'll go with one more reason, which is quoting the Shulchan Aruch, which is really interesting. We want to have on Shavuos a zecher to the Shtei Halachim. The Shtei Halachim, the two breads, which was brought on Shavuos. We want to remember that. Just like on Pesach, we have the two cooked items at the Seder. One to remember the Korban Chagiga, one to remember the Korban Pesach. So in Shavuos, we want to do the same thing. We want to have two breads. One bread to have for the, one bread each for the Shtei Halachim. How do we ensure that we're going to have two breads at our meal? If you tell people to have two breads, they're not going to have two breads. We have two breads for Lechem Mishnah anyways. We want to have two separate loaves of bread. One for... Right. So there's a halacha that if you have bread on a table during, let's say, a meat meal, sliced bread, so that bread can't be eaten with dairy. So if you have your challah board, and so you slice up all the challah, and now it's eaten, that challah, you can't put cream cheese on it after Shabbos. The concern is that some meat might get onto the bread, and then you're going to have meat and milk, and that's a problem. Now, it's a big question today whether this is still applicable. Apparently back then, they used to eat more with their hands. I don't know why they didn't use serving pieces then, but they used to eat, it's clear in the halacha, they used to eat with their hands, and there was more of a chance, there was more of a likelihood, likelihood was greater that some meat spilled onto the bread. Today, it's unlike, it could happen if you have a very saucy chicken or meat and it spills, but most of the time that happens, you're not putting that challah in a bag and saving it for the next day. So there's a question whether this applies today, but the halacha is that bread on a table, sliced bread, if it's full, it doesn't apply. Sliced bread on the table with meat can't be out of dairy. So this is the case. Now, we're going to have meat and we're going to have dairy. So when you have your dairy, you're going to have bread on the table because you're going to wash. Now, you want to have meat because you have to have meat because Simchas Yom Tov, you have meat. So now you're going to have meat. You have to have a new loaf of bread. Now you have two loaves of bread. You have a zicher to the shtei halachem for Shavuos. That is the explanation. This is actually the one explanation that made it into Shulchan Aruch. All the other explanations, even the Mishnah Berurah's explanation that he heard from a great scholar, is not in the Shulchan Aruch. This explanation is in the Shulchan Aruch. Our table is like a mizbeach. We want to have two breads, have dairy, and have meat. Now most people don't fulfill this minhag, because most people have either dairy or meat. I have seen some people, I don't know if anyone here, don't you do that? People, right, they'll have, blintzes or some cheesecake, like a dairy appetizer, wash, and then have meat. The problem is, to really fulfill the minhag, you have to bring out more bread. Otherwise, you're just having a good meal without really fulfilling the minhag. Now, it's not so simple in halacha, because this is not going to speak at length about this, but what to do between dairy and meat is a big debate. At the minimum, you have to... that's not true. The minimum, you need to have a clear off the table, or have a new placemat, a new tablecloth, a new plate, and do what's called kinuach and hadacha, which means eat something, parv, eat a cracker, have a piece of bread, and drink something. That's to get rid of the dairy flavor in the mouth. And wash one's hands if they use their hands to eat the dairy. That's all that needs to be done on a bare minimum. Then there's a machlokas where they have to bench or make a bracha achrona. Because otherwise you're having meat and milk at the same meal. Okay, but why is that a problem? You're not eating it together. So that's a big debate whether you have to stop by benching or saying a bracha achrona. There's also a minhag some have to wait an hour or a half hour, which is those are minhagim as well. But the minhag of this Ramah is to have two loaves of bread, and the way to get you there is by having dairy followed by meat, not the other way around, because that would be basar b'chol. This explanation, the Pri Chadash, who's in the back of Shulchan Aruch, says Kama Tam Chalosh Huzeh. This is a very weak reason. It seems to be a little bit convoluted that just to get to the Shtei Halachem, we're going to mandate you to have a dairy food. It has nothing to do with any of these nice reasons. It has nothing to do with dairy. It's not L'Hagid HaBoker Chastecha. It's not because the Torah is compared to honey. It's not, and milk. It's just, we want you to have bread. And the only way to guarantee you're going to have bread is by mandating you to have dairy. We could have just mandated you to have two loaves of bread, and then you'll have two loaves of bread that way. But the Pri Chadash points out that it's a tam chalush. It's a very weak, a very shvach reason. I think there is a powerful lesson there as well. We know that bread, we know this from Pesach, we've probably heard people speak about this, represents our Yetzer Hara. We know that the Seor Shebe'isa, the yeast, which is in bread, represents the evil inclination, the drive to sin. And that's why in Pesach, we go so crazy getting rid of all the chametz. Right? That's why there's bedikas chametz and there's beer chametz, and we drive ourselves crazy. Thank God it's not for another, you know, 10 plus months. That's where we go crazy, because what it represents is more than just the avera. It represents that inclination. Interestingly, on Shavuos, we embrace it. Shavuos, we have the Shtei Halachim. We celebrate this Yetzer Hara. We celebrate the sin, or the desire to sin. And there are those who explain that's exactly the point, similar to what we said from Rav Kook before. When a person has Torah, so a person could transform that Yetzer Hara, that evil inclination, that character, which is somewhat detrimental normally to us, that weakness, and it can be transformed into something positive. The Gemara says that when you encounter the Yetzer Hara, if you encounter this disgusting creature, you should bring him, pull him into the Beis HaMedrash. And the Mefarshim will ask, what do you mean? If you encounter the Yetzer Hara, what should you do? Run for your life. Run away. Why are you bringing him into the Beis HaMedrash? Because every person has weaknesses. We all have challenges. We all have flaws. The goal is not to run away from them. The goal is to bring them into the Beis HaMedrash, to channel it in a positive way, to transform it, to work on it to a point of strength. Shavuos, like Rav Kook said, with Dal and Chalav, we're not scared, so to speak, of the Yetzer Hara, of the Chametz, of the bread and what that represents. Shavuos, through a life of Torah, through a life of religious growth, and I would add, through the Chesed, and through the fresh and exciting aspect of Torah, a person has the ability to take the Shtei Halachim, take the Chametz, take the Yetzer Hara, and transform that into something positive. So we should enjoy our dairy eating on Shavuos. If your kids won't let you make dairy, you're more than welcome to come here and join us, have some cheesecake. Yes, I just invited everyone. We should remember the Mishnah Berurah, whose reason was nostalgia. We remember that they, so to speak, converted. They went through a conversion process. They didn't have to keep all these halachas. They had no time to kasher their kelim and to learn the laws of shechita and to check the knife. And dairy was the easiest thing. Cheese, less than an hour, and we don't run away from that. We don't hide from our past. We embrace it. We remember that with pride by eating dairy, like my student and his mother, who remained vegetarians their whole life, to remember that mysterious nefesh they had. There was the reason that Torah is compared to milk and honey. Maybe we'll bring back the honey this year, but we have milk to remember that Torah is like milk. It gives us strength. It refines us. Paired with the honey, which is sweet. It's chadash al Hashem b'shavu seichem chalav, the notion of the kliyakar, that just like when a baby nurses, it's always something fresh. It's not boring. I forgot to mention, Rav Tzaddok says that it brings together mother and child in a beautiful way. So too, Torah brings us together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that's very exciting. And we had the notion of chesed, lahagi b'boker chastecha. So as we eat the dairy, it shouldn't just be enjoyable in our taste buds, which we something we could gain from as well. Everyone should have a chag sameach, a good yontif, enjoy. Please help yourself to some fruit and to some delicious homemade cheesecake. So